Welcome to Surfing the Quicksand. I'm Kathy Vines, and today we're diving in, as promised, to some organizing conversations, because it is what I know best, what I love the most, and what I think a lot of people know me for. I want to bring my conversations to you that are based in the foundation work that I think I do with all my clients, with all of my Clever Girl Organizing Challenge participants, with all of the readers of my book. This is how I talk about what it is that I do and how I help people when it comes to getting organized and dealing with clutter at home. I'm going to be talking about organizing clutter here and there throughout this podcast. Today is really about giving you some of the kind of what I believes in this space, because I'll be referencing this from time to time, and I want to make sure you know where these are rooted from. The first thing I want people to know when I talk to them about organizing is it really needs to be understanding, like, why, what's going on in your life, in your head, in your space, in your family, that's making you feel like getting organized, living with less, decluttering. Why is that? What's going on? I really focus a lot on the coaching aspect of working with people and trying to understand what's behind all of the things that have been bringing people down, whether that's stuff, systems, or habits that get us to being disorganized. I think about that a lot, those three areas: your stuff, your systems, your habits. Because quite frankly, when people are disorganized, they may not all be disorganized for the same reason. For some people, it really is the stuff, right? I have too much of it. I have the wrong amount of it, right? It's the stuff that's really the problem. For some people, it's the systems. And systems are everything around how things go from point A to point Z. It's all the things that make life happen. And I'm going to focus really on home for this conversation. I can always talk about business organizing in a different way, but I want to get us all grounded at home. So systems, think about that. Systems are things like, how does food get on the table? Well, there's a, you know, an idea of what we're going to make, and there's a shopping list, and there's a shopping trip, and then there's unloading the groceries, and there's food prep and cooking and cleaning and all the things, right? That's a system. And the system is about how we're feeding and nourishing ourselves and our families, right? Another system is laundry, right? How, what's the end goal? Making sure I have clean clothes that work for me to wear when I want it to wear, right? So a system is everything that supports that goal. Everything from the time you take off a maybe dirty top, all the way through when it's clean and ready to go and ready to be worn, and all those steps in between. And I say clean and like maybe ready to wear again, right? That laundry limbo stage, not quite dirty, not quite clean, right? That's part of our system. To the hamper, to the laundry room, to the washing, drying, actually remember to taking it out of the washer and dryer, the folding, the putting away, the hanging, all of those things. That's your system. And I think for some people, the systems are broken. The systems were designed for a different time or a different person or a different brain or a different age or a different capability, all of those things. So sometimes I'm working with people around their systems. And sometimes it's habits, right? How do I know sometimes it's habits? Because I could buy you a $10,000 washer and dryer and give you a gorgeous laundry room that, you know, Architectural Digest would love to photograph. Like, it's the most beautiful laundry room in the world. But it's not going to do the laundry for you, right? If you don't actually do the laundry, if you don't do the habits, if you don't do the work to engage with the system, it's not going to happen. So again, I think so much of when people tell me they're feeling disorganized or overwhelmed and stuck, it's because of stuff, systems, or habits, and maybe more than one. And maybe it's one for you and another for a spouse or another for a kiddo. So sometimes the family dynamic is in there, but this is the core of when I start to talk to people about what's going on, why are they overwhelmed, what is it they want to do, where do they see themselves on the other side, how do they describe life at home, and how would they like to describe life at home? How can we get them there through thinking about their stuff, their systems, and their habits? Obviously, a lot of the conversations about the stuff. And I tell people all the time that people tell me their, I call them their stuff stories. If I go to a cocktail party and somebody's meeting me for the first time and they find out I'm a professional organizer, I hear their stuff stories. I hear about the stuff that's in the basement that was from their father-in-law who passed away 6 years ago, but they haven't dealt with yet. Or often their spouse just hasn't dealt with it yet. Or the baby clothes that they've been keeping, even though they're kiddos now in high school. Or the paper that's really has them overwhelmed. I'm hearing about grandma's china. I'm hearing about the stuff stories that are so embedded with, I'm stuck. I'm stuck with it. It's weighing me down, and I don't know how to get out. Especially in the first several years of my business, which started over 12 years ago, I started kind of collecting not just the stuff stories, but the excuses, the reasons, the barriers that I was hearing people say out loud as the reason to stop, right? The barriers on why people might let things go. It's that first response that comes up for them when they say, oh, I could never get rid of this blank, right? Whatever they're telling me next, right? What are those barriers I felt? I felt like I was hearing patterns of them over and over again. I might need it someday. I paid good money for this, or this was expensive. I could sell this. I'd feel guilty. Oh, I'd feel guilty. I talked to so many people about guilt. I wanted to go to someone who will really use it, right? I wanted to go to the highest and best person. I'm ready to go let go of it. I don't want it to go to the landfill, but I don't know where it should go, and I've kind of run out of reasons and spaces where to go. Or I'm going to give it to my kids, or I have somebody very specific in mind that I'm going to give it to. I'm saving it for them, right? And there's probably others, but those, as you can imagine, they're at kind of top of my head because I'm dealing with people all the time talking about these. And I want to talk about a few of them today as a little primer and get started, because we will talk about more of these as we go, and I'll talk about them, I'm sure, when I'm interviewing other organizing and productivity professionals, because that's on all of our minds. So as I said, I tell people I'm all about helping people understand what they own, why they own it, and where they keep the keepers, right? I don't come in telling people you should only have this many of those, or if you haven't worn it in 6 months, it goes. I don't have rules, and more importantly, it's not my house and it's not my stuff. And so I want to work on helping my clients think through what those rules should be for themselves based on reflecting about what their life is like and what their current and near future is like and what it would mean to let go of some things. One of the reasons I didn't mention just now is memorabilia, right? Memorabilia, and it reminds me of a time when my past, or I inherited from somebody, all of that aspect, the memorabilia is that's a really tough thing that people are going to talk about with me. And that when we break into this, they're going to say, well, I can't let go of all of this. I said, I'm not making you let go of all of this, but I want to know, why did you ask me to come? I want to know, why did you reach out? What's going on? Where do you want to be? And how is memorabilia fitting into that? How are all of these books you're saving fitting into that? How is that CD collection fitting into that? How are your three full closets fitting into that? How is your dining room and the set and everything that goes along with it fitting into that? I want to hear about their vision for their future and how their stuff either does or does not align with it. Because then we can start to talk about some of the barriers, and we can start to understand where those barriers come from and what it might take to work through those barriers and break it down a little bit and get on the other side. I mentioned I might need it someday as a big one. I think another really big one is guilt, especially around gifts. I spent a lot of time talking to people about guilt, especially as it relates to gifts. Another thing that I think comes up in the aspect of when we're thinking about their stuff and their attachment to it and why they feel stuck, why those things feel sticky, is it reminds them of a time that they used to be this person, or reminds them of how they thought they would be this person, but they haven't, right? So much of our stuff can be anchored in that. Let me give you an example of that. I used to play tennis, but I really don't anymore ever since I had a bad knee or a bad arm or just got over playing tennis. Or I used to work in a corporate role where I wore suits and ties a lot, but that's not what I have anymore. But those things, they remind me of that identity, right? It's not about the stuff. It's about what the stuff represents. So thinking about that comes up a lot as I'm talking to people. So I'm listening all the time for these barriers that are coming up and what's behind those barriers. Because somebody's just gonna say, no, I can't let go of that. I might need it someday. And that's the end of it. They move on to something else. Maybe they move on to something else. And what I want people to do is saying, all right, is that true? And what would happen if you didn't have it and that thing came about that you might have needed it? Is it a need? Or is it, gee, that might be handy someday, or that might come in useful someday? Okay, well, if that doesn't come about, or if it does come about, do you have something else that could also do that role? Maybe not as optimally as this one, but in a different way. I want to work with people to say, let's get underneath what you own and why you own it, right? Why are you holding on to it? What's the fear behind letting go of something? And once you call it out, once you name it, once you talk about it, is that rational? Is that likely? Do you start to see, oh, actually, maybe I don't need this? Because again, I want it to be rooted in, why did you call me? Why did you decide to get decluttered? Or where did you start decluttering? Even if you're not calling me, I want people to think about that, right? Why did you start? And how is this item aligned with and helping you get to those goals? Or is it a continuous pattern that's getting in your way? Even though you say, I want to live differently in this house. I want to feel differently in this house. I know I could be better. I know I could be different. If only the declutter, if only people would pick up, if only I had more storage, if only we had more space, right? Sound familiar? As I think about, I might need it someday. Sometimes I'm talking to people really practically about, like, all right, let's talk about that stack of paper. Let's talk about that bin full of wires and chargers. Let's talk about that random little bucket you have in the laundry room that's like, I'm not really sure what this goes to. I should hold on to it. Let's talk about every unmatched sock that has been floating around that same living room. There are so many places in your life that I bet you've been holding on to things, say, because I might need it someday, and you just move on to something else and it stays and it gets permanent, a lifetime lease in your home. And what I want people to do is, when they hear themselves say that, to stop and say, is that true? What would I do if it turns out I needed it and I didn't have it? Do I have another option? By the way, I don't even really bring up, would you remember where it was and could you get to it in the event that you needed it? I think there are plenty of people and plenty of items where the answer is probably no. But in that moment, we think, of course we will, right? Similarly with the identity question, right? It reminds me of my past or reminds me of your future. Sometimes that we're dealing with not only that practical aspect of, this is something that was important to me, or that future item, like, I still think I'm capable, or I still think I might get to that someday. I might get back to crafting. I might get back to puzzling. I might get back to doing all of these things. You know, I do work with people where if I can find out that the hobbies that they worked on before a pandemic didn't get touched during the pandemic, I will ask them, you know, the world kind of shut down for a year and you didn't do it then. What has to happen for you to revisit that hobby, right? We've been exposed to opportunities where taking a look at how we want to spend our time and how our stuff is involved in our life, we've been faced with it. And if we still feel like this kind of disconnect between I might or I could or I wish and I am and I have, that's where we can find that opportunity to say, what do I want about this life? What do I want about this home? How do I want to feel? And is that stuff supporting that goal, or is it getting in my way? The gift and the guilt is another great one, and this is probably the last one I want to talk about today. I think gifts and guilt hold people back in such profound ways, and it's not just the ones that they have, it's the ones that haven't come yet, right? And this comes up where I talk with parents, typically moms, where they say, everybody is so generous. My parents are so generous. The grandparents, the aunts and uncles, everybody's so generous. I'm overwhelmed. My kid doesn't need anything. My kid is doesn't play with what he has. My kid's much older than they were when they were into that thing, but everybody still thinks that's what they love, right? There's so much stress that I think a lot of parents are dealing with around this notion, because it's rooted in, I'm overwhelmed with the stuff, my kid's overwhelmed with the stuff, my house is overwhelmed with the stuff, but I'm afraid, or I'm unwilling, or I've been unsuccessful in having conversations with other people who keep gifting, right? I'm a grandparent, it's my right to spoil them. I just want them to be happy. I want them to have joy. I want them to have joy when they think of me, and I want them to associate this joy with them, with the item, and I want that to be part of that. What else am I gonna spend my money on? All of these things that come with that. And that drowning that the parent has around how do I respect where this honest, loving, generous place that these gift givers are in, and what I need to survive and create the home that I need. And so I've done that where I've worked with people to kind of role model conversations to say, how would we have a conversation starting in January that's about getting prepared for Christmas, right? And thinking about things and shifting the way that culture goes, right? And again, that's the gifts that haven't even come yet. It's causing people stress. But really thinking about what has come your way, and gee, I don't love this anymore. Maybe I never did. I don't use it anymore. Maybe I never did. But gosh, I love that person and I don't want to disappoint them. Or I don't want them to feel dishonored that I got rid of something that they gave me. Or I don't want to have an uncomfortable conversation if they ask about it. It's much easier for me to just put it in a closet. And if they ask, than it is for me to put it away and then deal with the conversation that I don't want to have. And it can be around things like wedding gifts, the things you actually told people you wanted. And you said, gee, I would love it if somebody bought me this china, or somebody bought me this Instant Pot, or this like beautiful cutting board. And then you're like, oh, I never really used it. It doesn't really fit in this house. I'm over it. I used it for a long time, but now I'm past it, right? That's even worse, that guilt. Like, oh, but I asked for it. And people brought it to me because they said, this is going to make her happy because she said so, right? This guilt that can come up from gifts can have things linger in your home for decades. And it goes from, a shelf to inside a cupboard to the basement or the attic. And just you say, well, I'll deal with it someday. And I promise you that someday is a bad day, because it's got a lot of cousins to deal with. It's got a lot of other contents in that same tote, that box, that closet, all of those same, I don't want to deal with it, right? We talk about in my industry that a pile is just a stack of delayed decisions, right? It's another example of delayed decisions. I'm going to deal with that. I'll deal with the consequences. I'll deal with the difficult conversation. I'll deal with the guilt later. And I want to tell you something about guilt. I think we're actually going to talk about this a lot throughout Surfing the Quicksand, which is guilt feels like it's got its own life, right? In that name. We all know, if you hear the word guilt, we all know what it makes us feel on the inside. Not great. But it really is often, it's that disconnect between two values. I talk with people a lot about values in conflict. I'm this, but I'm also this. But sometimes those can't coexist. They can't coexist, and my instinct, desire, drive to choose one over the other, where by not choosing that other one, we have in our mind that we're disappointing someone else. that's guilt, right? I want to have a home I love. I want it to feel uncluttered. I want to find what I need. I want to look around and love everything and use everything and need everything. And I want people to come in my house and I want to host people and I want to feel proud. As opposed to, oh, but I have all of these things that I'm holding on to because that feels painful to choose me over them, even if they're not in the conversation, even if they're not alive anymore. Even if they're never going to come to your house, that pain, that disconnect, that values and conflict over what it is I want and need and say is important for my life, my sanity, my health, and these other items that are getting away, getting in the way, the true definition of clutter, right? That's guilt. That's values and conflict. And this one is guilt. I tell people that I think we're so focused on imagining that that person who gave us something is standing in the room as we're putting it in a donation bag, as we're putting it in a trash bag, as we're putting it on a site on Facebook, right? That they're in the room and they're watching us doing it. And that's what we're imagining. And that's what we just kind of, we can't even survive thinking about that, let alone actually doing it. But that's not happening. Those people are not in the room when you're doing this. But here's something I want everyone to know. Anyone who loves you, anyone who cared enough about you to bring you a gift, bring your child a gift, bring your loved one a gift, if you asked any one of them, listen, would you rather I feel happy and good and make some good decisions for my life or hold on to this thing that you gave me? No one who loves you is going to say, hold on to the thing. And isn't that ironic that we're so upset and afraid of disappointing somebody we love that we can't imagine that they actually love us enough to help us let it go? And the reason I know this is true is because I want you to think about you and how you give gifts. Do you walk around stores and say, ooh, I hope they hate it. I hope it sits in their house for 30 years, and every time they look at it, they think, why did she get us this? Or it was great for when my kiddo was 3, but now they're 14 and we don't need it anymore. I hope they hold on to it forever and they just keep adding on more. You don't think that way when you're giving gifts. Honestly, I can have a whole conversation about gift-giving culture and why there's too much and the consumerism and the compulsiveness we all feel of having to exchange things and items to express love because there's a date on a calendar. I could talk about that forever. I'm probably going to have some people who agree and some people who just think that that's just unthinkable that they wouldn't live like that. I respect that. But what I know is it's gotten you to a spot where you wouldn't want somebody else to be miserable, to feel overwhelmed, to resent you, to give it the side eye every time, roll their eyes every time they see it, because they're afraid of what you would think if they let go of it. I know you're not that person. So why do you think your loved one is? Now, I am sure we all have a relative or two who maybe is a little judgy and does want to know where you put that giraffe that they bought you, right? There may be those people in the room. And so I'm not saying this is for everyone and every gift giver and every gift, but I want you to think about it. I want you to think about this, again, sense of guilt, this sense of I'm choosing me over disappointing someone else. Oh, nope. I'm going to choose not disappointing someone else, so I'm not choosing me. Those moments, those values in conflict, that's what we feel. So we've started dabbling it a little bit, and I'll do another episode on more of these, right? Talking about I might need it someday, or talking about this reminds me of a time when I used to be this person, and boy, I don't want to let go of who that was, or I'm disappointed I'm not that person anymore, or gosh, I still believe in me and maybe I can be that someone again. Or this idea of guilt, especially gifts. There's a lot here, right? I think that as we continue to talk together about some of these ideas, I want you to start thinking about What has you stuck? What has you feel weighed down in clutter? What do you want out of your house? What do you want out of feeling and with your family? Or even if you're just by yourself, you look around, how do you feel in your home? And is your stuff supporting that? Or is it getting in your way? And is this your first opportunity to start to get unstuck? If you've read my book, Clever Girl's Guide to Living with Less, or you've been in my Clever Girl Organizing Challenge, you hear me talk about this all the time. One of the things I love about the challenge is people tell me, Kathy, I can hear these lessons every single year. It continues to reinforce the habits I'm trying to build for me, for my family, for my kids, for my spouse, whatever that is. I love always revisiting, coming back to these basics. And I'm going to tell you, I have things in my house that would make me feel guilty if I let them go. I have things in my house that remind me of my past or are still part of my aspirational future. I have things in my house that I keep because I might need it someday. We all do. This is a journey that we go on together. But what I know about midlife women is we are dealing with, especially the sandwich generation, we've got things we're inheriting or we think we're going to be inheriting. We've got things that we're building for kids and what they've had and what they've been keeping all this time. We're imagining if our, you know, loved ones haven't passed away, that there's more coming our way that we're going to have to deal with. We're imagining our own move. I'm not going to be in this house in 10, 15 years. How do I make sure that's not an awful experience? Being able to live more mindfully around what we own, why we own it, and where we keep the keepers is a daily practice that I want to inspire in you. And I hope you are excited to think about your space differently, because once you do, it's hard to stop. This was just a taste into thinking about how I'm going to talk about organizing and productivity with you over time. If you've liked this one, I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, you can put comments on any of the social media, especially in the YouTube comments. If you head over there, if you're not watching this over there already, I really want to make sure that we're starting conversations and I understand what's going on with you and your community. Thanks so much.